whatnot.
WJFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Well, we our group was nominated for a lot of awards, and I was really hoping that if we won one, this would be the one, because to me, that's what these guys exemplified, team. And this wasn't our most talented team, but it was our best team in the sense of that word, unified, together, a very fun group to coach. And I'd like to thank the ESPYs for presenting this to us, and I'd like to thank the Lord for giving me the opportunity to coach these guys.
There you go.
The Don and Mike Show.
There he is.
They love fully and completely.
We do.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, give me a moment for a quick proctology exam.
You're going to have fun now, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I love Tony Dungy. I really do. Coach Dungy?
Hey.
There he is, everybody. Coach Tony Dungy from the world champion Indianapolis Colts.
Great to have you on the show. Great to have an opportunity to tell you congratulations on all your success.
Well, thank you. That never gets old. We love to hear that, and it's been awesome, especially here around Indiana. People have been so excited about the championship, and it's been a fun offseason.
Coach Dungy, if I might call you Tony, he has a
Tony
book.
Tony is fine.
Tony's got the book called Quiet Strength at CoachDungy.com. Besides all of the many football questions that I'm dying to ask you and everybody else is, and about your demeanor and about the state of the NFL and what you're going to do this year to come back. Just a second to tell you, not to start this whole thing on a downer, but the way you handled yourself when your son passed away was incredible to a lot of people. And
I see that.
Especially to me, because my wife of 25 years had passed away just 3 months earlier in a car wreck. And I had come back to work after 3 weeks and realized about a year later I had made a huge mistake by not taking enough time off. And I know that after your son passed away, you took a week off and you came right back and you got into the grind. And you were one of the people that helped me to get through my situation, because even though we're in totally different spots and totally different situations, I said, look at how this man is handling himself. And I guess the main thing that I wanted to ask you without getting totally heavy was, because I do believe in God, I was mad at God for about a year, and then I was able to let it go. If it's not too personal, can you tell me what you went through and how you made peace with God about your son?
Well, I was able to let it go because I guess I've had those things happen in my life, and disappointments that ended up being great blessings to me in the past, in my football career and that type of thing. Both of my parents had passed away just previous to that. We had players that had similar situations with parents, siblings. So I'm talking to them and saying, hey, you know what? God has your best interest in mind. Tough things happen to all of us, but we've got to keep our faith and push forward and overcome it. So when you're talking about those things and giving people advice, I think it really helps you that when it does happen to you, it becomes more personal, it hurts more, but you know that's the right thing to do. So for me, getting back with those guys and being around our football family was really therapeutic.
Well, it was quite an inspiration to me. I know it was an awful time for you, and it was the worst time I've been through in my life. And it was a weird parallel because the timing was similar, and I saw it. Look, here's a guy, a much more high profile in a job that I would dream to have, who's going back to work. So,
you know, when I think of Tony Dungy, I think of, you know, the title of your book. Obviously, it seems to be your style in life as well, which is Quiet Strength. And a lot of times, especially in the broadcast business, you think of, you know, you get ahead by being the squeakiest wheel. You get ahead by being the loudest guy, you know, by promoting yourself. You know, you seem to go against a lot of those theories in life, that especially in football, you think of the big, blustery, screaming football coach. I'm just curious how you've gotten so far, you know, with this style that you have, because it's really, I think it's unusual in today's society to see somebody succeed that much in that type of field like the NFL with your style.
Well, that's one of the reasons that I'm still doing it, and I am excited about going into work and being in this platform of the NFL to try to show people that you can do that. I think my parents instilled that style in me and Christian values. way back in life, and that's what I am. So that's the type of person I have to be. I was very fortunate to play for Chuck Knoll, who was a very, I wouldn't say low-key, but he was very businesslike, and he let us understand that if you just did your job, that was the only thing that really mattered. And I saw him have a lot of success. And that helped me. Then I watched people like John Wooden, who I admire greatly, win tremendously and have that type of style. So I knew you could do it. And I really wanted to. That's the one thing I was so proud about the Super Bowl, being there with Lovie Smith, who I knew very well, and I knew he had a similar style. And people would be able to say, well, here's two guys who don't maybe do it the traditional way, but they've taken their teams to the top of the NFL. So it was a good feeling, and that's really what I wanted to show people in the book, that there are different ways to do it.
Okay, now that all of that is out of the way, here's a couple of really quick questions. Brandon Stokley went to Denver. This guy Gonzalez, are you going to play him in the slot?
We are going to play Anthony in the slot. I think that's going to be his best spot. He was used to doing that. He played with Santonio Holmes and Ted Ginn at Ohio State, so he was used to not being the guy with all the focus, not having everything on him. I think he's going to be a perfect complement to Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison, Dallas Clark. He's shown that in our mini camps, just coming in and fitting in. And he's a very tough guy. And he's a hardworking guy and really the type of person that we've had success with.
And what about your secondary? You lost a couple of guys in the secondary. What are you going to do to patch those holes? I'm a huge football fan. I'm sorry to give you these boring questions.
You know, we lost our two starting corners, Jason David and Nick Harper, who played great for us. Mike Doss was starting for us at safety before he got hurt. So we lost those three guys. But in the past 2 years, we drafted Marlon Jackson and Kelvin Hayden, and they played great in the Super Bowl and all the way through the playoff run. So it's that type of thing where your young guys just have to be ready to step up, and I think our guys will be.
Coach, I got to ask you, with the with the state of the NFL right now and the character issues that you hear about and you read about in the newspaper each and every day, how do you personally – I mean, obviously it's a question of selecting the right guys to be part of your team. It's getting the right the right cohesiveness on the team. But what do you do, and what do you suggest other people in the NFL, coaches, what have you, administrators, how do we handle the situations that seem to be still plaguing the NFL with a lot of these problems with character and the issues of guys behaving badly?
I think it starts at the top, and that's why I applaud the commissioner for the way he's come out and making the statements about what he's going to try to do to really make sure that we have the right type of role modeling. If your organization really sets the tone that way, which ours does, Jim Irsay is very straightforward at the top of what he expects, Bill Polian, and then me, I think give you what you ask for most of the time. And I think we as leaders, as coaches, as general managers, as owners, we can certainly do a lot more by saying, guys, this is what we have to do. Live with this and not throw guys under the bus, but not take a lot of excuses. And if we do that, I think our conduct will get better. Now, I do have to say that 99% of our guys are fantastic. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of guys, not only on our team, but all over the NFL that are doing great things, working with young people, second careers, all those positive things that you want to see. We have 1% that are really doing all the damage to the reputation, and we've got to straighten out that 1%, but we can't let the public not realize that 99% of our guys are doing some great things.
Tony, if you can take a compliment, that's one handsome wife you got. I like seeing your family up there get the Super Bowl trophy and had to go back and TiVo a couple of times and say, hey, you know what? Hey, Tony Dungy's not that much of a straight shooter.
You know, it's been a long time.
I know. I take that as a compliment.
Yeah, that is, sir.
Me at the ESPYs and everything. Is this your second wife and all that? She's younger than you. We've actually been married 25 years, and she's like her mom. Her mom is a very attractive lady the same way. They've got good genes.
Tony, you play the Madden game at all, or do you look at it?
I look at it. My son plays it constantly, so that's where I see it.
I play it constantly as well, and shock, I'm the Indianapolis Colts. And I'm pretty sure that I know at least your Madden playbook inside and out. How realistic is that, really? And you don't have to be like the Santa Claus Easter Bunny discussion with me. You can talk to me like a 49-year-old man.
It's actually pretty realistic. They take a couple of coaches, four or five coaches every year, down to wherever they put it together, and they talk through things, and is this realistic? Would this happen? And how? And they've made it more and more realistic every year. So they do a pretty good job. It's not totally there, but it's pretty good.
I have to tell you something. The last year I started playing a season with the Colts before the year, and I started rolling Peyton out a little bit. And darn if during the year, what did you start doing?
Art imitates life.
We had a few of those things in for him. Yeah.
Tony, you know, we got a lot of coaches on the Little League, high school, junior high that are probably listening right now. And I wouldn't feel like I was doing it justice with interviewing you if I didn't ask you, what is the single most important thing you would say anybody who's getting into the business of molding minds, of coaching young people, what would you tell them?
Well, I would tell them, number one, make sure you keep it fun. My son went to the first team he played on. He was 9 years old, and after 3 weeks, he told me he wanted to quit. And he loves football, but they took it way too seriously at that level, and he wasn't having fun. And he didn't go back to playing again until he was 12, until 3 years later. So keep it fun. And teach those guys about life. Tell them that winning is not the absolute most important thing. And if you'll do that, you'll get them going in the right direction.
That's the coach that won the Lombardi Trophy, incidentally, for all the coaches that might be out there on the sidelines tonight going, come on, brother.
How is it that you ended up with Peyton Manning? Because it seems like you guys were a match that had to be set ahead of time. He is an extension of you out there, you of him, you guys. It seems like two guys in one brain. How does that work?
It's funny. The only way I can explain it is that the Lord really set it up. We went to the Maxwell Awards when I was Peyton was actually a senior in college. He got the College Player of the Year. I was the NFL Coach of the Year. And we're at this award ceremony, and I talked to him all night, and he was just fabulous. And I said, at the end of the night, you know, you're going to be a great success. You're going to be the first or second pick in the draft. I'd love to coach you, but it's just too bad it's never going to happen. Well, he was the first pick in the draft. He went to Indy. 3 years later, I get fired, and I end up in Indy. And it just there's no way you could have thought it was going to be put together like that.
I didn't know that. That's great. That's fantastic.
Yeah. I'm really swimming in Lake Mead.
We both laughed at that because that was the last thing I told him that night. I said, I wish I'd have the chance to coach you, but it's never going to happen.
I tell you what a quality guy he is, and I'm sure you know this too, but as maybe they told you, we do a show that goes to about 25 cities. And a couple of years ago when my wife passed away, I got on the air and talked about it a lot. My wife had been on the show with me every single day just about. And one of the people listening was Peyton Manning's brother, Cooper. Listens down in Louisiana. And he called the show. And one day at my house, I got a call. I got a pick-me-up call from Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
I almost hung up the phone because the caller ID said P. Manning, right? And I pick up the phone. I'm like, hello? And he says, this Mike, that's my real name. And I said, yeah. And he said, hey, I'm Peyton Manning. I just want to tell you, you know, life goes on. And it was really like something that you can't picture an athlete doing now in any circumstance. I didn't know him from Adam yet because his brother listened to us on the radio and knew that I was a Colts fan, had Peyton Manning call me. How great is that? Does that stuff happen all the time?
That's the way he is, and that's what I was saying earlier. People don't realize all the things these guys do. Peyton has a foundation. They give back tons of money in the city of Indianapolis. He has scholarship programs. He has benefit games for the high schools there. He takes kids on trips. Just a lot of fabulous things that people will never hear about, but they'll hear about the one DUI of a player, you know. And that's what gets blown out of proportion. But, yeah, he's fantastic. Eli, Cooper, and Peyton, if you ever wanted son-in-laws, they would be the guys you would want.
As a matter of fact, after that had happened, I got an email from someone in the Manning family about a project they were doing for Katrina victims. It was a couple of years ago. And I just anonymously sent a check and wrote on it, you know, the Manning Foundation. And, I don't know, like 4 weeks later, I get a thing in the mail. That's a Peyton, mm-hmm. It's a Peyton Manning jersey that his brother had got and sent to me with a note saying, thanks for your generous donation. Now, I had never written anything on the check. I had never told anybody. I'm just blown away and think that they're great guys. And that has to a certain extent, be a reflection of you and the way you carry yourself. So congratulations to you as well.
Well, thank you. I'm very proud of our guys. My first press conference when I got to Indianapolis, I said, you know, we want to win a Super Bowl. We think we will, but we want to win it the right way with the right type of guys, have an impact in the community, and be a team that Indianapolis can be proud of. And I really think we've done that. I think we've accomplished that by winning and winning where our city is very proud of our players.
Yeah, you know, they talked about Dallas being America's team. You have to know how many people around the country you had pulling for you in that Super Bowl. And, you know, it has a lot to do with the whole organization and the way you all conduct yourselves.
Hey, well, thank you.
Tony, last thing I ask you. Haven't the Patriots really loaded up this year? What are you going to do now?
I mean, well, they have loaded up, but the comment I always make is I remember when the Lakers had Phil Jackson and they got Shaq, Kobe, Karl Malone, and Gary Payton, and everybody said, hey, they got four Hall of Famers and Phil Jackson. They're going to win, and the San Antonio Spurs won. And so it's still a game of how you play as a team. And New England, you know, they're a great franchise. So whether they have Randy Moss and all these guys or not, they're going to be good. But just, you know, pieces to the puzzle don't make it. The puzzle has to fit together. And that's what everybody's trying to do right now is put their pieces to the puzzle together.
You got a cat on your roster named Fletcher, a tight end named Fletcher?
Yes. Fletch, we'll get some opportunities to catch the ball, and if you're thinking about putting him on your fantasy team, he'll make some plays for
you. That's what I wanted to know. Thank you. Tony Dungy, his book is called Quiet Strength. You can buy it at CoachDungy.com, and really it has been a pleasure. God bless you. It's been wonderful to speak to you.
Thank you, guys. It has been awesome, and I appreciate the chance to be on the show.
Thanks, Tony.
Bye-bye.
All righty. Bye-bye.
See you later.
You know, it's just you see a guy like that's had all this success. You don't picture, you know, you go back to the Parcells, the Ditkas, you know, you think that's the – and it's all kinds in the NFL. You have all sorts of such. You got Bill Cowher, you know, who retired. But, I mean, it's like, God, I mean, I think I understand what it is with him. You go into that organization, and it is. It's the quiet strength. You know, listen, you can screw up. He's not going to scream at you. He's not going to yell at you.
Yeah.
You're going to be gone in 2 weeks.
Tony
you know?
Dungy, huh? What a jerk. What an ass.
There you go. Oh, yeah. My God.
What's his problem?
I don't know.
All right, Buzz.
How much did you enjoy that? Are you okay over there?
I thought I did a good job of keeping my emotions under control.
You did. I know how excited you were about that.
Well, I really do respect and admire and the weird parallel of things in our lives and the stupid Peyton Manning phone call.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just don't stand up too quickly.
Right.
Yes. You are very excited.
You're very nice.
Thank Rob. You. Very
Tony nice Dungy's too. A big jerk.
That's right. What got into him?
I don't know. But
well, he's no Jim McMahon.
Yes.
No, he's not.
Who is?
No, he's not. So now do you know who he is, Buzz?
I do. And I'm embarrassed because he's clearly a nice man, a great man. The world needs more guys like him.
Well, that's why you should be embarrassed, because he's nice. Not because he's been on the front page of every goddamn newspaper in the world for the last 6 months. Well,
that'll be in Buzz's blog.
On the sports.
Tony Dungy, a nice man.
Mm-hmm. I believe he was on the front page.
Well, that's possible.
Not just the sports page. I believe when the Colts won the Super Bowl.
After the Super Bowl.
He would be on the
And he was on the ESPYs page. This past weekend winning they had best team.
Oh, I meant to tape that.
He's even been in the Reader's Digest. This guy's everywhere.
He's everywhere.
Life in these United
States. Subscriptions expired.
You didn't catch the ESPYs, Buzz.
No, I not this year.
Buzz was backstage at the ESPYs.
That's right.
You know what? I would give him a 50-50 shot that he knows this. Do you know who hosted the ESPYs?
I've forgotten now. I knew it one time,
but
there's
two people. I'll give you a hint. Mm-hmm. One of them's an NBA superstar, and the other one is a late-night funny man.
Conan O'Brien and Shaquille O'Neal.
That's exactly right. But they got sick at the last minute, and they were replaced by Jimmy Kimmel and LeBron James.
See, very close.
Right.
The correct answer is Bill Walton and Jack Parr.
All right. You know, you just should let Mike have the last word.
He gets greedy like that, doesn't he?
Why do you got to be such a last word freak?
I learned it from the book by Tony Dungy. He says, always get the last word in. That's quiet strength.
You just can't resist a Bill Walton joke, can you? You're a real asshat.
Hey, what did you think of Bill Walton? I'm sorry, I have Tony Dungy on the show, Bill Walton.
On your show?
Yeah.
He was outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. Phenomenal job. Did a great job. I'm very excited about that. Very much quiet strength. That's how I describe my underarm deodorant.
We'll be back with Buzz's news, right?
Hi, everybody. Yes. This is the news.
That's right. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.